Good morning.
Good morning.
It's always a blessing to be in the house of God. It's a blessing to see you here this morning. I appreciate the commitment to the cause of Christ with you showing up. I appreciate it, and I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. I know the Lord's pleased when we get here on time, when we're praying to God, when we wake up in the morning, especially on the Lord's Day. It's a day to rejoice and be glad in it. Should be a bright and beautiful day. And I just thank you so much and ask for your continued prayers here this morning. I love this place. I got some dear family here from back at home at Bethel. Said they're going to be here this morning, so it's good to see them. And just ask for your continued prayers that the Lord will be pleased in everything that we do. That's how we should walk and talk and how we should go about our daily business, seeking that the Lord's shine his face down upon us, that we're honoring and serving him the way we should as his sheep of his pasture. He's taking care of us all the days of our life, and we have nothing but to be thankful for on a daily basis for his provisions and his face to shine upon us, to give us the strength to go another day, another week, another month. How blessed we are as a people and a nation, no matter what's going on around the world and in our own neighborhoods, in our own house. We just have so much to be thankful for. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and 7, he's trying to encourage young Timothy in the ministry. And he told Timothy, he said, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us the spirit of power. He's given us the spirit of love, and he's given us the spirit of a sound mind." Now, I believe if you have the spirit of power and you have the spirit of love, then that'll give you the spirit of a sound mind. Because when the world projects and the world tactics are to put fear in the hearts of God's people. And that's how they move you and push you to do certain things and tell you how to act and tell you what to say and what to do and what not to do and how you're supposed to live in this unforsaken world. And we're supposed to save ourselves from this crooked generation. Save ourselves. So he tells Timothy, in a state of apostasy and things are going on in the church, and he's trying to encourage him. He said, "Timothy, God did not give us the spirit of fear. And God did not give Union Primitive Baptist Church the spirit of fear, but he gave you the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we can hone in on that. And we can get away from the world and what it's trying to teach and what it's trying to preach and look to the Lord for that power to get us through to another day." You know, Paul told the church at Ephesus, "Unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think," according to what? According to the power that worketh in us. There is a power that worketh in the child of God that we can draw from. We can draw from that well of power to fight off the enemy of this world. We got the devil and we got the world. And we got the flesh that we have to deal with. But when we're feeling in a state of fear about what's going on around us, God did not give that to us. Thank God he did not give me the spirit of fear, because I would be fearful. I'd be crawling up like a little baby sucking my thumb with everything that's going on. That's not from God. And I'm here to proclaim that this morning, that he has not given us that spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. You know, the Word of God is richly to draw from for strength and power and love, and it give you a sound mind, okay? Everything that's out there, my son Baker is all worried about AI, artificial intelligence, if you don't know what that is, and how it's taken over the world. And I mean, he is in a state of panic and fear. They're going to take our jobs, and, you know, he's just... He's like, "Aren't you worried, Dad? Aren't you fearful?" I said, "No, I'm not." Why not? Because I know the Lord is greater than all that. He's taking care of us, son, is what I'm telling him. He's going to take care of us. worst thing that's going to happen is we're going to go home and be with the Lord, and I don't have to worry about this mess anymore. I'm not worried about it, son. There was all kind of stuff going on when I grew up. You know, when it turned 2000, the clocks, you know, all this kind of stuff. You know, it's just one thing after the other. The world preached fear, 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 fear. And what that does is it puts you in a state of bondage where you can't properly and honorably worship the Lord and draw that power from and receive the love that he gave his only begotten son for you and I. That's the love I want to draw from. That's the power that he has power over, you know, all things. And I don't have to be fearful what man can do to me. I'll be fearful what the Lord can do. He can shut and no man can open, and he can open and no man can shut. He does according to his good pleasure. And I want to seek the good pleasure of a mighty heavenly Father. You turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. I want to read there in Luke chapter 12. They both mirror each other. And here the Lord is instructing his disciples, and he's going to tell them and he's going to preach to them on things, how we're supposed to walk and how we're supposed to talk and how we're supposed to behave ourselves and let our conversation or our walk in life be known unto men. Okay, he's going to give a great example of everything. Everything a child of God stands in need of is found in the Scriptures. That's our place to go to. When we ain't got anywhere else to go to, I'm telling you, we need to get our face in the book. In Matthew chapter 6, he's going to give several different lessons on how we're supposed to act in this unforsaken world. And he says, in verse 1, he says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." It tells us how to give. I love it. I need to know how to give, how I'm supposed to take care of those people around me, how I'm supposed to give, and it honors the Lord. And he says, don't do this in front of men. There's no reward in men. I trust me, nobody cares how much you give. You may think they do, but I assure you, they don't. And the Father sees everything that we do, which is both scary and comforting all at the same time. But when nobody else sees it, I assure you, he sees everything. And I'd rather have my Lord and Savior's face shining down upon me for something I did when nobody else in the world will see. I assure you, at the end of the day, they don't give 2 cents. I won't go any further than that. But he says, don't do this in front of men. You know, he says, "Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, and as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." This world's got their reward. He says, "But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what the right hand doeth. Thy alms may be in secret, that thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." And when he does, how great a day that is, when you can feel the hand of the Lord down upon you, carrying you along the way, when he's walking and talking, when you can feel the manifest presence of his love and his power working in you and through you. It just warms your heart. It just puts a smile on my face when I can feel that. And that's what we're seeking when we come to the house of God. We're seeking the manifest presence of God in us through the singing and praying and the preaching of the gospel of a successful Savior. I mean, it's glorious when you can feel that. And he can do that to you when we're seeking those things, seeking his good pleasure and not the reward of men. And he starts it off about how we're supposed to give. And then he goes into how we're supposed to pray. And not like the hypocrites on the corners, and, you know, seeking the reward of people around us. Like, we're doing good. He's the praying man there. You can tell he's out there doing that. You know, they're be seen like they're doing something that's great. That's not how we do it. That's not how we give. And that's definitely not how we pray. He goes on down and he's going to teach them how to pray. And he's going to go on down and in verse 14, he's going to tell them how to forgive. He starts off on how to give. Now he's going to tell them how to forgive. One of the hardest things. Seems like that sometimes it's hard for people to give, and it's definitely harder for people to forgive. Okay, but he's given these lessons. These are critical lessons that they needed to hear on how to walk about and talk about and where to put their care here in this life. He says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." That's a harsh warning, but it's a true warning. And it's just as much as we believe in all the shalls of the Bible, that's a shall right there. He will not forgive you if you're not with a forgiveful heart. And then he goes on down and he says, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast." He says, they have their reward. Men seek their reward from other people. That's not the standard. Our standard is always is Jesus Christ and how he walked as a faithful servant. And he didn't, you know, we're not supposed to be like the hypocrites. We're not supposed to be like the ones of the world is what he's saying here. He says, he goes on down to verse 19. And this is what I want to talk about this morning. He says, "Lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal." Don't lay up your treasure here on things that rust and corrupt and moth and thieves come in and just take apart. What you have today can be gone tomorrow. What you seek and what you have your care for here in this morning, that's called being anxious or having anxiety about things. You know, my grandma, she kept everything that was known to man, and she was anxious and careful to not let anything go. And, you know, living through those ages, I don't blame her. You know, but, you know, it's hard to come by anything. But today's world, it puts you in fear. If you don't got this, you're not that. You know, you need more. You need more. It's always seeking more and more and more. There's never enough. There's never enough. You know, there's not enough in the Primitive Baptist Church. There's not enough. You know, let's go outside, you know, the scripture. Let's go outside and see how we can do a little bit more. And it's the same thing in our daily walk, in our daily life. Need more, need more, need more, need more. Not being content with such things as we have, you know. So he says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. In heaven. That's where all of our spiritual blessings come down from, that will never go away. They're not, you know, rust is not going to soak up God's treasures. He's not going to soak up God's mercy and his compassion and his love and his power. It will never happen. So set our affections on things above. Lay up your treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. You don't have to worry about having a security alarm in heaven when your treasures are in heaven. They are good to go with the Lord. Nothing's going to come in between your heavenly Father when he puts his blessings down upon you. That's where we need to put all of our time and attention. And don't be anxious about things in this world, but lay up our treasures in heaven where nothing's going to corrupt and no thieves are going to break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Wherever you put your time and energy and your faith and trust in, it's where your heart is going to be. That's the bottom line. You can always tell somebody when you look at somebody where their treasures are, where their heart is. You can tell, you know, he's a working man. You know, he loves those sports. You know, it don't matter, you know, what day it is of the week. You know, they're out doing it. If it, on a Sunday, they're out there planting and sowing and whatever it is. And I know you have to work sometimes on Sunday. I have to do with my regular job, unfortunately. You know, it's not often, but I do. I understand that. But I think if you seek the Lord and you seek those treasures and think those things above, the Lord will take care of you and he'll bless you along the way. And he'll open up doors of opportunity where you can walk through them and you can feel the manifest presence. And you can see how the Lord is working diligently in your life. He's a caring God. So he's telling his disciples, you know, how we're supposed to give here in this world and how we're supposed to pray to the Heavenly Father and how we're supposed to forgive one another, because we're quick to step on each other's toes. You know, we do it before we even, you know, can think about it. We're doing it. But we're supposed to be a forgiving heart. We're supposed to have a giving heart, a forgiving heart, a heart of prayer. Okay, not, you know, how we're supposed to eat and, you know, supposed to fast And that's basically, you know, you're serving the Lord, you're seeking the Lord, you're putting apart your earthly needs and food. We all need food. We all need raiment. And he goes on down there. He says, for where your treasure is, there's where your heart be also. And he goes on down to verse 24, and he says, no man can serve two masters. For either one will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. What does that mean? You just can't do it. You cannot come to God. What's that mean? You can't come to God unless the Father what? Draws you. Right here, he's saying that no man can serve two masters. You just can't do it. I tried to toe the line a lot of years, my teenage years, in my 20s, in my 30s, with 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the church. It never happened. And why did it not happen? Because I can't serve two masters. And mammon means wealth or riches. But when you've got 1 foot in the world, you're seeking the things of the world. And you're seeking those things that both rust and both corrupt. And I was trying to hang on to one while I had my foot in the other. That's what he's saying. No man. How many? No man can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. That's what man tries. He just hold on to the last second. Just keep on holding on to the world, and it's going to let you down every single time. I don't care. You can go on many a days and think everything's just going okay. I'm not doing anything. No, seek ye first. You cannot do it. He says, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. That word thought there means anxiety, anxiousness. Take no thought. Don't be anxious about the for your life. Well, I mean, we all got to take care of ourselves. You know, that's pretty important. So what is he saying? He says, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor for your body what ye shall put on, is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment. God's given you the life when he created man. Okay, that is way more important than the things of this life. And he's given you, he's clothed you. He knows everything we stand in need of as children of God. He always has. It ain't something new to the Lord. He knows everything. He's the omniscient God. He's the omnipotent God. He has all the power. He can do as he pleases. Why are we so anxious about these things that are just going to fade away? You know, but we all do that. That's not, I'm preaching to myself. You know, there's a lot of times I get all bound up in myself, and I have to preach to myself saying, you don't need to be worrying about that. Your Heavenly Father knows everything you stand in need of. It's clearly when I can look back and see myself here today, how the Lord's carrying me all the days of my life. Don't worry about what's going on. I got a Heavenly Father that cares so much for you. Peter says, cast your care upon him for what? He careth for you. It's the same today as it was back then when he wrote it. It's the same before Peter wrote it, way back to eternity's past. The Lord has always cared for his people, and he always will. Don't be anxious and don't be fearful of what the world is throwing at you, child of God, and take the joy out of you. I was on the trip over here this morning in a car. I don't know what he was doing, but he was not turning and getting out of the way, and I didn't want to be late. And I was talking to my niece on the phone, wishing her a happy birthday, and I told her, and I was talking to the driver of the other car like they could hear me. And I was like, I told Shana, my niece, I said, that car is just trying to rob my joy this morning. I shouldn't have been all anxious about that. I just give them time. They'll move out of the way. But he says, it's not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment. It's what I've given you way more important than the things that you're caring for out here in this world. He said, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your Heavenly Father, what? Feedeth them. They don't even do any work, and the Lord takes care of them. You know, Elijah was down there by the river, and he sent, you know, a bird down there, you know, to feed them, which is against a raven, sorry, which is against their nature to do. But the Lord cared enough for him, and he shows you how awesome God is. He works in mighty ways. His works are mighty to perform. It's nothing that was too hard for the Lord. And it never has been. There never will be. And it's, in your case, it's not too hard for the Lord. Whatever you stand in need of, he's able to provide. I guarantee it. He is able to provide. It ain't because I guarantee it. It's because the Lord's guaranteed it. He says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? You know, talking about adding one cubit to his stature. My baker, you know him and you've seen him, and he's my 16-year-old boy, and he's right there, or he's right close to passing me in height. And I don't care how much he thinks or how much he tries, he's always trying to get us up to measure on the wall, scribble on there. You know, he's got shoes on, I don't have shoes on. But I don't care how much he prays, I don't care how much he thinks he can get taller. It's only by God giving him the, you know, his height, you know, to be able to even get higher than me. It ain't nothing he can do or say or whatever. It's only by the God's, you know, gift to him of how high he's ever going to be here in this life. So he's like, why take ye any thought? These are things that we think about, and how tall am I going to be, or, you know, what this and that. Why take ye thought for raiment? You know, the clothing that we wear. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. The lily of the field. You know, he's the lily of the valley. And you think of Solomon in all his glory. I mean, that must have been a sight to see. You know, the queen traveled many miles to hear of his wisdom. And God, Solomon prayed for wisdom. And God gave him wealth and he gave him wisdom. He gave him more than what he asked for. And you think about his glory and the temple that he built and how it was built. You know, axe nor hammer, no work put into those stones. It was finally, you know, they were already carved out when he was building his temple. I mean, you know, the gold and silver and all the pomp and show. I mean, this must have been just what my kids say, you know, mind-blowing sight to see. I've seen some really cool things and really like, wow, you know, see some houses that are being built down south of Nashville. And I'm sure there's places out here. They're like, what do these people do? You know, like, what? How are they even going to? Anyways, you know, you just see, you're like, oh my goodness. And that's what it was with Solomon. And the Lord's saying that he'd take care of the lilies of the field and how they were more glorious than all of Solomon's. I mean, that is something, how caring that the Lord is with what, you know, just the lilies of the field. They weren't, you know, all of Solomon's glory was not arrayed like one of these. Was not arrayed like one of these. He says, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? He says, therefore, take no thought. Don't be anxious. Don't be careful. You know, that's what that word, don't take no thought, or don't be careful. You know, Martha was careful, you know, about many of things there, trying to serve the Lord, her and Mary. You know, don't be anxious about many things, as, you know, Martha was. She was doing a good thing. She was serving. Mary was serving, but she was at the Lord's feet. She chose the better part there. You know, she was careful about many things there that day. So he's saying, therefore, take no thought. Don't be anxious. Don't be, you know, careful, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. That is what the world seeks more and more and more. I don't know why I went to the Opry Mills Mall yesterday with the kids. My dad's like, you chose poorly on a Saturday. And I said, well, it's a nice day. I'm sure everybody's out fishing and on the lake and doing things, outdoor activities. They're not up in this mall. Well, I was wrong. There was a lot of people there. And they were seeking clothing and, you know, and raiment. And the things of this world, they're seeking better houses. They're seeking more land, more money. It's a constant seek, seek, seek. Their mind is on things of this earth where not the child of God's mind is supposed to be. He says, for all the Gentiles of the world, this is all the things that they seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. He does. He knows everything you stand in need of. He knows everything you're going to need of tomorrow morning when you wake up, and then the next day, and the next day. Until he comes back, it ain't going to slip his mind on everything his children need here in this world that we live. He put us here to glorify him. He's going to get us through, I assure you. He knows everything that you stand in need of. He says, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not your own, and all these things shall be added unto you. There's that word shall. It shall be added to you. Why? Because God promised it. That's why I'm not afraid of AI, because God knows everything I stand in need of, and it's coming on. We use it in my work. You know, they ask it a question, and it tells us everything, how to sell floor cleaner, how to sell a disinfectant. I mean, that's pretty cool. I ain't gonna, you know, I'm not saying it's all bad, just like everything. You know, man takes something that's so good and turns it into such evil because they seek for their own back pocket. That's what it all is. You can't serve God and mammon. It's impossible. And the world, the Gentiles seek that, or the world seeks those things. It's all about profitability. That's the bottom line. But you can't serve God and serve mammon at the same time. It's not going to happen. So he's telling them this is what the world seeks. But when you seek first the kingdom, there's all kinds of stuff that we have to seek. We have to seek raiment. We have to seek money to provide for our families. You know, a man that doesn't provide for his family is not good. You don't want to be that one, brother. And so he says, seek ye first the kingdom, and all these things shall be added to you. Take therefore no thought. Don't be careful for the tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know, look at Luke chapter 8. And he's going to give the parable of the sower and the seed. And it's talking about the hearers of the word and the doers of the word. And now all these children here in this passage are children of God. They're not, you know, the world and other religions and other institutions will teach that these were all, you know, fell by the wayside. They fell out of the hand of God. We don't preach that. We don't teach that. So when we read the scriptures, we need to take know what we're talking about here. And all these were children of God. And it shows the different stages of children of God that don't seek the word, do not seek first the kingdom of God. How do I seek first the kingdom of God? Well, when the doors of the house are open, we're in our seats. That's seeking first the kingdom of God. When we read the scriptures, we're seeking the king in his kingdom. That's how you seek first the kingdom of God. And he says in verse 11, he says, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, that come, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they also should believe and be saved. Verse 13, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation, they fall away. It's different stages. I've seen many children of God come in the church, and then they're out of the church. They start putting their foot into the world, start seeking those things outside the walls, and what's in the church is not good enough for them when the world's preaching, this is, we got it made out here. This is everything you stand in need of. When it's everything that they stand in need of is right here in the kingdom. It's right here in the good old Primitive Baptist Church, the Church of God. And it's giving this saying, if we don't have our roots, if we're not well grounded on the foundational things of God and reading the scriptures, the devil is going to come in. He walketh about already to seek whom he may devour. And one way he can seek whom he may devour is to pull that word of God right out of your heart, where it's not even on your mind or on your heart anymore. And that's a sad state to be. A period of about 4 years of my life, I didn't even go to church. I thought I'd never be back in church. Yep, that was me. I've told you that before, story before, but I'm not afraid to tell it again to show how awesome God is and how powerful and how merciful and how compassionate he was on this child of God. There was a time for over 4 years that I was out of the church and I never looked at the scriptures, and the devil had ripped it right out. It's things that I loved, I no longer loved like I used to. And thank God I love them more than anything to this day. And I want you to have that same kind of love, not of fear, but of power and of love, and that'll give you that sound mind that we stand in need of, because you start to get a little loopy. You know, you start listening to the world and what they're trying to put down your throat, you know, figuratively, what they're trying to shove, and your mind is starting to get a little, you know, AWOL or crazy and unsound is what I'm trying to say there. But God didn't give that to us. He gave it a sound mind of power and of love and a sound mind. So don't be like that ones on the rock. When they hear, that you receive it with joy. But you have no root. You're not rooted in the church of God. And you believe for a while, but then you start to fade into a state of unbelief, or ye of little faith is what he's telling them. And verse 14 is where I was headed, and he says, and that which fell among thorns are they, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with what? They're choked with the cares, the anxiety, the cares of this world, the cares and riches and pleasures. That's what man seeks out here in general. We all seek these things, and he says they're choked out with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. When our anxiousness and our cares are more on things here on this earth, then it's going to choke us out. It'll do it. It choked me out, and it'll choke you out. The devil is not lazy. He knows what'll choke you out. And if he can put your mind on things of this world, then he's choking out that word of God. When you don't open the scripture on a daily basis, he's choking it out. It'll soon become stale to you. It'll soon collect dust on your mantle. You put it on your catch-all, and it'll catch it all for a while before you get it off the catch-all, which is usually, any place in the house other than in your hand. So let's don't be like that. Let's look to the word. Let's seek ye first the kingdom of God. Don't be anxious about these things of this world where the devil will choke it out. I don't like to be choked in general, but I definitely want to receive the nourishment from the scriptures. I want to receive the nourishment of my heavenly Father when I'm walking and I'm praying and I'm giving and I'm forgiving and I'm seeking the Lord's pleasure and I'm seeking the Lord's face. I'm seeking, the Lord, and I'm seeking first the kingdom of God. He's going to add all that I stand in need of. It's a promise that God has given to me. He's given that promise to his disciples. He's given it here in Luke chapter 8. And he's talking about how the thorns just choke them out. And what the thorns are the things of this world. They'll surely do it. Those are the things that when we focus from those things. Paul told the church at Colossae, he says, if ye did be risen with Christ, seek first, seek those things which are above. Seek those things which are above, where all our heavenly blessings come down from. David, through all his life, how mighty things that David did. He killed Goliath, not by his own power, but God delivered Goliath for his Israelites that day. The rest of them were scared to death. Nobody wanted to go up against old Goliath. They were fixing to become slaves. They were in great fear. They were in great fear looking upon man. And that's how we can become. And, it took a little old David to come on down, the keeper of the sheep, and the backside, of his father's sheep, coming in there and say, is there not a cause? David wasn't fearful. He's probably fearful on himself, but he wasn't looking to himself. He was looking to the God that gave him the spirit of power and of love for his children, his Israelites, his family that day. They were fixing to go into bondage, into slavery, into the Philistines that were both sides of them. And there was a cause. He delivered him from the hand of the paw of the bear and the paw of the lion. I mean, that he's talking about fearful. I see a bear, I'm out of there. I'm gone. I don't like snakes. I don't like spiders. I've told you that probably before. I know God made them, but I don't like them. I don't have to like them, I don't think. Please don't tell me to like them. I don't like them. And obviously he said, a bear, a lion, I'm out, But God delivered him there, and he delivered him from the, Goliath. And that must have been fearful. And David, on through many of battles, how he, killed his 10,000s and saw his thousands. And just many of things, how the Lord blessed him as the apple of his eye. And, King David. And what I'm trying to get around to is, toward the end of David's life, he said he'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. He sought to be a doorkeeper, which is a nobody. I guess, whatever. But as far as, men want to be high and lifted up. They want to see, bigger and better things. But David, he said, I just want to be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. That's where he wanted to be. After all those many things, that's the place he wanted to be at. Moses, You read about there in Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith. And Moses did many a mighty things, all through the power of God delivering his children, bringing them up out of Egypt. And, you know, it says in verse 24 in chapter 11, it says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, when he's older, when he come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. I don't like to suffer affliction, but Moses chose rather. David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Moses choosing, it was a choice. That's what I'm trying to say. It was a choice. He was following his Jehovah God. He chose to rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. And I want to suffer the affliction with the people of God, knowing that they're serving God in an acceptable manner. You will receive many manifold blessings here when you choose to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There is pleasures of sin. That's why man's just, you know, by nature, he's a sinner. Everybody's a sinner. Some people know it, some people don't. Moses chose, this is a choice for him. It was a choice for David. Moses could have, you know, been the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but he chose rather to suffer affliction. He chose rather to seek those things in the kingdom of God rather than the pleasures of this world, the cares of this world, of pleasures, riches, and wealth, and things that he stood in need of outside his own spiritual self. You know, Saul was at first thought he was little in his own sight. You know, when he was chose to be the king of Israel, you know, Israel was all fearful, all the nations around them. You know, Israel started to get a little fear. They wanted their own king, just like everybody else. You know, they wanted something more than what they already had. They already had everything. They had the greatest protector of all time, Jehovah God, that had provided for them, that fought wars for them. They had everything they stood in need of. But just like us, just like me, I need a little more. I need a little something else. We need a king like all the rest of the kingdoms. So what did Saul do? At first, he was chosen. He felt little in his own sight. He was very humble about it. Then he started going a long way. He got a little, didn't start doing what God had told him to do. And then he heard, you know, those girls start singing, you know, Saul's killed his thousands. David's killed his 10,000. Boy, you talking about fear. There's a little bit of fear and, you know, jealousy and fear. You start to get a little jealous. You start to get fearful of this other person that may take your job, may take your family member, that may take somebody that you really care about. You start to get fearful. You start anxious. And Saul did. And boy, it driven him down, 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 down. Saul was a child of God, but King Saul fell into a state of fear of what this young lad David, who had really helped him out more than anything, but he got a little jealous and he got a little fearful. Instead of putting his trust in God like he did at the first and being humbled about it, he fell into a state of fear, and that caused a great bit of damage. And it will to every child of God that puts his trust and faith and security in the things out here in this world that'll let you down, 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 where moth will come in and eat it up, where rust will take over, and your treasures are on things here on this earth. I'm telling you, lay up your treasures in heaven. Your Father knows everything you stand in need of. He's always taking care of you. He always will. Don't listen to the world. That's what I teach my kids. I was like, please don't listen to the world. Get off the internet and get off your phone. You know, it's a constant battle. Yeah, I mean, it's a constant battle for me as a father, and I know it is for you and your loved ones. It's like, take your eyes off the things below and set your affections on things above. Your Lord knows how to take care of you. He always will. He's on time, all the time, and every time. You know, James, I'll end this morning in the book of James. James chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is where? It's from above. It's not from below. I don't want what the world has to offer me. I want things that are good and perfect, and they're from above. and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow or turning. He's an unchangeable God. I can count on the unchangeable God. I'm not worried about him. He is almighty. He is unchangeable. He cannot lie. His promises are for sure. And he promised me, if I set my affections on things above, where all my spiritual blessings come down from, he shall provide for me. I have to count on an insurance provider. I have to car insurance provider. But every time I get in a wreck, I don't know if I'm going to get compensated back for what happened, depending on what the driver did, how the officer wrote the ticket up, if it goes in line with what the insurance claims is not your fault, partly your fault. I have no clue sometimes, but I give them money every month thinking they're going to provide for me. I'm telling you, the Father in heaven provides for you every single time. You don't have to worry about it. He is the unchangeable God, where there is no variableness. That means there's no changing, no shadow of turning. Of his own begot he us with the word of truth. That's what I've been trying to preach out of this morning, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. He said, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. That goes against the grain, like a kick in the shins is what my friend says, you know, out here to the world. They're swift to, you know, they're not swift to hear, they're not slow to speak, and they're quick to wrath. It says, for the wrath of God worketh not the righteousness of God. He says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive the meekness of the engrafted word, which is able to what? To save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You know, Isaiah, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, he said, I'm a man of unclean lips, living amongst the people of unclean lips. When he saw God as who he was, he just broke down. We have to understand that. It's a wonderful passage of scripture. When he got his eyes fixed on things above, he saw just how unclean of a man he was. Set our affections on things above. Seek our Heavenly Father's good pleasure and seek his will as we walk in the days ahead. And I'm telling you, the Lord will provide for you. Don't be anxious and careful for those things that will just lay you down, or, you know, just let you down. Look to the perfect law of liberty. That's what he says in verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, which is the scriptures, which talks about a successful Savior, a providing Savior, a caring Savior, a giving Savior. These are all, I just thank God every day that he is so rich in mercy and compassion, and he still does for his children today, just like he did for Moses and David and Adam. And, you know, Adam and them were clothed with, you know, animal skins. They tried to cover themselves up. They were got all fearful and started put on, you know, leaves, whatever, that just faded away. You know, what a sight must have been. Then they got all scared, you know. So the Lord took care of them. They got in the place of fear. But God did not give Adam and Eve the spirit of fear, but he gave it a power and of love and of a sound mind. So we need to look into the law of liberty, which is the scriptures, and forget not be just a hearer only, but a doer of the work, that man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man, religion, is in vain. We're not supposed to give for other men to see. We're not supposed to pray for other men to see. We're not supposed to forgive for others to pat you on the back. But we're supposed to do things for our Heavenly Father, that he may richly bless you. And we don't do things, I'm not saying we do things to receive any kind of reward. He's given us his blessed Son, his only begotten Son, that we'll be in heaven one day. That's where our treasure's at. That's what I'm looking forward to going home to. And I trust you do here this morning. So as we go on through this week and on the months ahead and the years and how many ever years we got left, I encourage you to seek those things which are from above, where our heavenly blessings come down from. That's where we're going. And I look forward to that day when he comes in the clouds and receives us up. It's just going to be a glorious day. I ride along the highway sometimes. And I'm in my house. I look out the window and I just look up at the clouds. I start to smile. You know, that's where it's all from. That's where he's at, on the right hand of the majesty on high, making intercession for us when we cry unto him both day and night. That's where he's at.
That's where he's coming from. So I want to keep my eyes as a child of God on things that are rich here in this life. I want to put my where my treasure is, that's where my heart's going to be also. So I encourage you to do that. It's easier said than done. I'm not trying to teach something that I don't have to work on a daily basis and out here in this life. But as we approach the days, just don't be fearful of what man throws at us. God has conquered the world, the devil, and the grave. That's what it's all about. He's already accomplished. That's why Isaiah said, comfort ye, my people. The warfare has already been accomplished. Your iniquities have been pardoned. You've received double for all your sins. All your spiritual blessings come down from a wonderful Heavenly Father who knows everything you stand in need of. Everything. There's nothing that escapes the almighty eye of God. And he is going to take care of you. I'm not promising you that. I'm reading from the scriptures, and he has promised those things to you. You can have assurance here this morning. You can have full assurance that God's going to take care of you. Don't be anxious on those things out here in this world. I appreciate it.